There is little indication that the Cahokia floods killed anyone, or even led to widespread hunger. Nonetheless, the string of woes provoked a crisis of legitimacy. Unable to muster the commanding vitality of their predecessors, the priestly leadership responded ineffectively, even counterproductively. Even as the flooding increased, it directed the construction of a massive 2-mile-long palisade around the central monuments, complete with bastions, shielded entryways, and maybe a catwalk up top. The wall was built in such a brain-frenzied hurry that it cut right through some commoners' houses. Cahokia being the biggest city around, it seems unlikely that the palisade was needed to deter enemy attack. In the event, none materialized. Instead, it was probably created to separate elite from hoi polloi, with the goal of emphasizing the priestly ruler's separate, superior, socially critical connection to the divine. At the same time, the palisade was also intended to welcome the citizenry. Anyone could freely pass through its dozen or so wide gates. Constructed at enormous cost, this porous architectural folly consumed 20,000 trees. More consequential, the elite revamped Monk's Mound. By extending a low platform from one side, they created a stage for priests to perform ceremonies in full view of the public. According to Woods's acoustic simulations, every word should have been audible below, lifting the veil of secrecy. It was the Cahokian equivalent of the Reformation, except that the church imposed it on itself. At the same time, the nobles hedged their bets. Cahokia's rulers tried to bolster their position by building even bigger houses and flaunting even more luxury goods like fancy pottery and jewelry made from exotic semi-precious stones. It did no good. A catastrophic earthquake raised Cahokia in the beginning of the 13th century, knocking down the entire western side of Monk's Mound. In 1811 and 1812, the largest earthquakes in U.S. history abruptly lifted or lowered much of the central Mississippi Valley by as much as 12 feet. The Cahokia earthquake, caused by the same fault, was of similar magnitude. It must have splintered many of the city's wood and plaster buildings. Fallen torches and scattered cooking fires would have ignited the debris, burning down most surviving structures. Water from the rivers, shaken by the quake, would have sloshed into the land in a mini tsunami. Already reeling from the floods, Cahokia never recovered from the earthquake. Its rulers rebuilt Monk's Mound, but the poorly engineered patch promptly sagged. Meanwhile, the social unrest turned violent. Many houses went up in flames. There was a civil war, Woods said, fighting in the streets. The whole polity turned in on itself and tore itself apart. For all their energy, Cahokia's rulers made a terrible mistake. They did not attempt to fix the problem directly. True, the task would not have been easy. Trees cannot be replaced with a snap of the fingers. Nor could Cahokia Creek readily be reinstalled in its original location. Once the water starts flowing in the new channel, Woods said, it is almost impossible to put it back in the old, as the new channel rapidly downcuts and establishes itself. Given Cahokia's engineering expertise, though, solutions were within reach, terracing hillsides, diking rivers, even moving Cahokia. Like all too many dictators, Cahokia's rulers focused on maintaining their hold over the people, paying little attention to external reality. By 1350 AD, the city was almost empty. Never again would such a large Indian community exist north of Mexico.